y'all. So, I actually recorded this earlier, but my Wi-Fi went down, so I was unable to upload it. So this is my second time recording. Welcome to Witch's DNA 101, and this is Witch 101, and I am talking to you today about how I became a witch. Okay, it all started out with my granny. From her side of the family. So it's my maternal grandmother. So her father is from Northern Ireland and Scandinavia, and they, you know, migrated through the UK. So we got a lot of family in the UK. Then they came to the States, and her father met her mother, a Cherokee lady, Florence. We call her Mother Florence, and I'm a namesake, so I'm named after her. And but the witchdom goes through his line of the family. So, yeah, very, very lovely, very lovely. And so, my grandmother married a man, and he's not a witch, but he's very gentle, very loving, very kind. My grandfather, my maternal grandfather. And being the doting wife that she was, she went to church with him a lot of times, mostly all the time, but she always went late. She always went like an hour late, and on purpose. And that's because she loved fashion and everything, and so she treated it like it was a fashion show to her, is what it was. She had friends there, so, you know, she'd make her entrance. And then when she wasn't going to church every Sunday, she was going to coven. So all the other times she was going to coven. She went to coven, which church went to once a week. She went to coven, I think, once or maybe twice a week. I think it was just once a week. And let me tell you, you always knew when she had, when it was her day to go, because, oh my God, she would just glow from the inside out. She had so much fun. She loved it with every cell in her body. She just glowed everything. Her energy going to coven was much different than her energy going to church. She did, they had like potlucks and stuff, and she was just so excited to go. She just could not wait to go. She was just so excited. And is from a Celtic tradition on her father's side. But I do suspect that her coven was more geared towards the more modern gardenerian tradition, because it was very secretive. They had initiations and, you know, everything just very secretive. When she would come home, I'd ask what she did, and she'd tell me. Sometimes they had an initiation, she'd tell me, but she held fast to the fact she could not tell me what was going on and all that kind of stuff. So it was very secretive. Growing up, I grew up around my grandmother's tradition and my grandfather's tradition, his Christian tradition and her tradition. It was a it was interracial, but it was also inter-religious family, I guess that's how you would call it, interfaith. And she wasn't the type of witch that worked with a lot of tools. That could be because maybe everything was at the coven, or maybe out of respect for her husband, or I'm not sure why, but she did have special items. She had what was my favorite, which was the curse. She had a crystal ball, a real crystal ball. And she had these bells. Okay, so you guys know about the Celtic, anything about the Celtic tradition, you might know that they believe in bells, that bells ward away negative energy, negative spirits, whatever. And so she believed in that. And every anniversary, people gave her porcelain bells or crystal bells. Let's see, what else does she have? She has something else, but I just can't recall what it was right now. She has something else. So she had, her and my grandfather had 9 children. So they all grew up underneath her tradition, you know, and you know, they went to church too, but mainly not. They were more geared toward, some of them were more geared towards her tradition. And so my mom was the more rebellious type. My aunt, I have another aunt, Aunt Mabel, and I was just a baby in a carrier when she died. And but my other aunt, she's the one who sat me down when I was about 13 or 14 years old and told me about everything about my, you know, witchy heritage. And yes, it's a hereditary, I'm a hereditary witch. And as you might know, people say hereditary is when you grew up with your family around you teaching you about the path, teaching you about the craft. But I beg to differ, because as I was growing up, I was taught that hereditary means that it comes down through your family line. It reaches far back from your ancestors, comes down through your family line. And not everybody in your family gets this, because I mean, yeah, anybody can become a witch, but being a hereditary doesn't hit everybody, okay? So, more on that later. If this gets too long, I'll probably, you know, extend it to another episode. I got it. So I think I was the last one to get it. So I have 4 sisters and 1 little brother. My little brother is. So I guess I'm not the last one to get it. He is, to be technical. In talking about being a witch, I'm going to talk about my gifts as well, and that tie into it, because my gifts come hereditary, also comes down through my family line. See, my aunt was a medium. My mom, oh my gosh, she's mega gifted. I'm mega gifted. My mom, let's see, for one thing she did, she's clairvoyant, clairaudient. She had all her clairs. And she was a tarot reader. Well, a card reader, I should say, because she is called cartomancy. So she read your cards using a regular deck of playing cards. And that's why she did mine. And that's how I found out she did that, because I really didn't ask her all that much, because her energy is so penetrating and so intense and so strong in a positive way, but it's so strong that it feels eerie, kind of makes you step back because her eyes change colors and her eyes get so light and hazel that they look like they have no color, and she looks like she's looking right deep into your soul or something. And I know she wasn't a Scorpio, she was a Leo, Cancer Leo, more of a Leo, I would say. But I really didn't ask her a lot because I was really afraid to know what was behind all that intensity. So I just kind of felt my own way through things. So she gave me my first reading when I was about, 14, 15, maybe. And she was extremely accurate. So I was like, oh, wow. I was around 9, maybe. Between 9 and 12. I had to think a long way back when I first started with pendulums. My oldest sister taught me how to make one with a string and a ring. And so I would play with it every now and then. And when I got older, and in my first pregnancy, I used one to determine the sex of my baby. And my next one, I think I used it with all three, of my pregnancies. But I've scryed into a crystal ball before, my grandmother's crystal ball. And that's interesting because it worked. And that was so cool. That was the first real thing, the real witchy thing I've ever done, I believe. That was it. That was the first one that I've ever done. And now I am a psychic medium. I like my mom and my aunt. I have all my clairs. I do pendulum readings. I'm a numerologist. Yes, a numerologist. My mom taught me about numbers and sequences. Sometimes she called it confirmation. She was really deep into philosophy. She was really deep into biblical theology. I learned a lot from her. She was my teacher. She was my guide. And so when I became around, maybe 17, 18, maybe closer to 19, I went to the library and went to the bookstore, and I was always around books. I love books. And so I bought my first book on numerology, and to delve much deeper into the depth I was already in, and it was just amazing. So moving on, I started reading tarot when I went into the military in 97. So in 98, I started reading tarot. I read for my whole platoon. I actually read for half of my platoon before I figured out that I'm supposed to be using my gifts with it. Because my mom never really sat me down and taught me how she did it. She just did it. And so I figured, well, you just do it. So I did, and I got a lot wrong until it dawned on me. And ever since I was a baby in a carrier, baby carrier, I have had my guides with me. My guides are my spirit guides. And they have been with me. They have, to me, being an old soul is having my spirit guides with me, because they taught me and showed me everything. And so my spirit guides were telling me you have to use your gifts with it. So a friend of mine had a cousin that who wanted a reading, so she came to me. So her cousin, we were stationed in Maryland. Her cousin lived in Georgia, I believe it was. And so she came over to my dorm. She told me that her cousin needed a reading. So she called her cousin and gave her cousin my number and told her cousin to call me. So she did. And so on the phone, because there's a code of ethics that I follow for myself. And I adhere myself to my code of ethics. And no matter what anybody else is doing, I believe everyone should have their own code of ethics that they follow and not even deter from. It's like an oath that they make to themselves, for themselves, to their code of ethics. And so as I spoke to her cousin, I told her, you know, because she was going to tell me why she needed a reading. And I stopped her. I'm like, no, don't tell me why you need a reading. I will tell you why. I will tell you what your question is. You don't need to tell me. That's my job. I will tell you. All I want you to do is just talk, but don't talk about anything in relation to the reading. Okay, so one, I've never done that before. It's my guides telling me all of this. So I'm like, all of this is brand new to me. My mom didn't even do it. My mom would just spring a reading on me. So she was a little stuck on what to talk about. So I guided her. I asked her, like, what did she eat? Where did she go? Yada, yada, yada. So as I was talking to her, I was shuffling the cards. And I told her that I needed her to talk so that I could get her energy, because I read from her energy. I'm an energy reader. And so as she was talking, I was shuffling. And by the time I was ready to lay out my cards, I was doing a 10-card Celtic spread, I remember. She was so into what she was talking about. She forgot I was shuffling. She forgot I was even doing a read. She was just so into her day and everything else. She was just going. I had to stop her. And it's like, I'm ready. She was still going. I was like, okay, I'm ready. And so she's like, oh, okay. So I started reading. And I did the basic thing that I normally do. And that is, I just give a brief synopsis on what I see before I actually go into the reading. But this time was different. This time, after the brief synopsis, it's like my gifts kicked in. And I could see, I saw everything I was telling her. And as I saw everything I was telling her, I could not see my cards anymore. I could not, her cousin was sitting right there in the room with me looking at me. I couldn't even see her. I couldn't see anything around me. All it was just me, her voice, and the vision I was getting. And it was, the energy was strong, and it had me rocking back and forth. I've never done that before. And so I can't tell you how long the reading lasted, because I lost sense of time. And so at the end, because I had given her markings on the phase, where it's going to happen, what the person was going to say to her, how it's going to turn out, what she gave her advice on what she should do for such and such and such an outcome, and, you know, all that good stuff. And so after that, I was extremely drained. I'm normally never drained after a reading, but after that one and the subsequent readings after that, I was completely drained. And so about maybe a week or two later, My friend comes back and she tells me that her cousin wants to speak to me again. So I'm like, yeah, okay, she might run another reading, or maybe she's confused about something, or something didn't happen or something. So I speak to her cousin. She handed me her phone, so I speak to her cousin. And her cousin is telling me, she's confirming everything I told her in her reading. Everything came true. Boom, boom, boom. Just like I said it. The person, the exact scar and exact spots, the exact thing I said that's going to say in the exact place, and such and such happened. So that was amazing to me. That's when I knew I got this. I got this. I got this thing. So, that was my, besides reading crystal ball, that was just playing when that actually happened. Tarot reading, mediumship came to me, and it's just something that just, I just knew. It's like my guides just pointed out, you know, I could predict impending death, and I know that's like, who wants a gift like that, especially when they're really young? But that's what I got, so I'm blessed with that, and I'm happy with what I'm blessed with. So, I wasn't back then, but I am now. I learned to be. So, it would be like my guys would say, matter-of-factly, oh, such and such and such is going to, you know, die. And I learned to pray away the feeling, the knowing of what was going to happen to someone. And then I learned to place intention behind it for, you know, and then it would be a very deep prayer or a spell casting or intention setting to try and change the course of what was happening or what was predicted to happen. And I noticed this after I was really little, the death of my grandfather, which was rocked my world, and it was a tumultuous, sad time in my life. So, my aunt, she is a medium. In her house, there was a spirit of a lady who would come and sit in the foot of her bed, and they would talk. They would just talk, and she tried to get me to do it, and I know. I was scared a lot of the times. I grew up in a very haunted house, so I was scared a lot of the time. Let's see. Now I do mediumship reads for people online, and I do them with or without a photo. I don't need a photo. I can pick up an energy of the requester and of the person that they're trying to reach just from online. So I found that to be very interesting, and I can pick up energies from items like jewelry or, I don't know, clothes. I do readings on houses and stuff like that. In my readings there, I believe, like I said earlier, everyone should have a code of ethics that they stick to and they adhere to. I do. In my mediumship, and I'm a psychic medium, which means that I use my gifts along with being a medium. A psychic isn't automatically a medium, and a medium isn't automatically a psychic. A medium hears or gets a sense of the person that's passed, the messages that they're trying to get through, and they might interpret these messages by I don't know, using maybe something to scribe with, but they don't have to. That doesn't make them a medium. That just means that the medium is using a different a tool to better connect or whatever. But a psychic medium also sees there's more gifts. This is deeper. There's more gifts that are coming to play. So when I say that I'm a psychic medium, I actually mean that I use my gifts, all my clairs, and in conjunction with being a medium. So my code of ethics and my mediumship is one, before I accept a reading, before I agree to do a reading, I should say, I always tell the person who's requesting a reading to let me see if I can connect with their loved one. I never agree to do a reading unless I know I can connect with their loved one, because I give their loved one respect. In that they may not want to be contacted. They may not want me to contact them. They may not like my energy. So let me see if I can connect. So I will try and connect. And in trying to connect, I ask. I just don't go and say, and assume a connection is there. I always ask the person if the person who's passed, if it's okay for me to connect. Do they want to connect with me? So and so, their loved one, their cousin, whatever, wants me to connect with them because they have a message they want to get, or they want to see how you're doing, whatever. 99.9% of the time I get a yes for the connection. In the times I've gotten a no, and it's been very few, it's because, and I can read their energy, and they tell me, it's been because they just don't want to be contacted. There's an issue that was present at the time of their passing that they're still not ready to deal with. There could be some animosity still over there. They might not want to hear from the person that's contacting them. They might not just feel my energy, you know. Actually, a reason why a past level may not want you to connect with them can be anything, really. They just don't feel like it. It's their own. When people pass, they still they still have their own free will. So is that they don't have to connect with you if they don't want to, and I respect that. I highly respect that. I never force a connection. Never. Never. To me, that is rude. And so, in my code of ethics, I do not force connections. I always ask if it's okay for me to connect with them. And when I ask them a question, I ask them if it's okay if I ask them such and such. I thank them for their answer. And let's see. I ask them. I check in periodically to see if I'm getting if I'm interpreting what they're saying correctly, and they will let me know. And when I say that I'm a psychic medium, I actually see for me, and I'm the only one. I'm pretty unique because I'm the only one that I've ever heard of, known of, that actually can do this. It's like they actually show me things, like them moving, like people give me a photo. It's like Harry Potter, you know, and when he's reading a newspaper and the pictures in the newspaper move, that's what happens to me. Well, not what happens to me, but that's what I see. And the past loved one has their same mannerisms that they had when they was living. And when I tell their loved ones what they're doing, they're like, oh my God, that's exactly the way you described it, exactly what they do. And so my code of ethics in tarot and pendulum readings, like I have a channel, Mystic Flow, on YouTube, and it's a general tarot. I read tarot generally for the sun signs, and I always say that it's a general reading, and it cannot resonate with every sun sign out there. So take what resonates and leave what doesn't. But I let you know that it's general. I let you know what you're getting at the beginning. Especially for like pendulum readings, I never ask more than what is asked of me to ask, because anything more is none of my business. That's being a little nosy, if you ask me. So with pendulum readings, like if somebody asked me if so-and-so are going to start dating, that's all I ask. I don't ask if so-and-so and so-and-so is going to start dating, and if they start dating, are they going to get married, are they going to have children, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there. I never go into all that. If all they ask me is if they're going to start dating so-and-so, that's all I ask. I'm also a numerologist, and so numerology is very deep. It's not complex as people think it is, but there's a lot of divination and fortune telling, I guess you could say future telling, that it's involved. I'm trying to find the right word. So I can, like in numerology, I can tell you about how a certain day is going to be. I can tell you exactly how a person's personality is going to be. Aside from other things, it's more to me, numerology is more in depth than astrology is. And more exact, more accurate than astrology. Let's see. I told you guys that my mom was a numerologist. She was really into theology, Nostradamus, philosophy, not Nostradamus, and biblical theology. Okay, I'll talk to you guys about that. Okay, let's talk about, I do follow the Vedic astrology, which is the Eastern astrology. A lot of people follow the traditional or the popular astrologies, which is tropical astrology. And that's Western, that's what you know about, that has a set months and the days, like December, what is it, 19th through January 26th or whatever, is Capricorn or whatever. Vedic astrology does not have dates. If you see a Vedic astrology with dates that a sun fall into, ixnay that, unless you know exactly what year that chart was created, because every 72 years, the Vedic will goes kind of clockwise 1 degree. So, unless you know what year that chart was created, you really don't know if that's accurate or not. Most likely it's not going to be, because the Vedic astrology is puts the moon in precedence, whereas the tropical astrology puts the sun signs, the sun as precedence, as a core personality of a person. The Vedic astrology puts the moon, or the moon becomes the sun, whereas the sun is like the first, like when somebody asks you in the tropical astrology, If somebody asks you what your sign is, you give them your sun sign. In the Vedic astrology, when somebody asks you what your sign is, you give them your moon sign. That, and some Vedic astrologers follow your ascendant, but most will give you their moon sign. And so that is on that, and the tradition that I follow. Now, I had mentioned earlier that my grandmother is from a Celtic heritage. Celtic and Scandinavian, but mainly Celtic. She recognizes her Celtic roots more. She identified more by her Celtic roots. And so I grew up underneath that. And but me and my second to the oldest sister are the rebellious too. So when I say rebellious, I mean we go our own way. So, you know, she's always did her own thing in life. And with me, me doing my own thing is me following my own spiritual path in my witchdom. So I follow the Wiccan tradition. I'm not really going to say I'm Wiccan. I do follow their reed, the Wiccan reed. But I follow their tradition mostly, except that I don't follow all their gods. The old ones are my ancestors, and the threefold god is genderless to me. So for me, Mother, Maiden, Crone, or Father, Son, Holy Spirit are the same. I reference Father Sky, Mother Earth, and energy. Let's see, the tools that I started off with when I started off on my own were my grandmother's. So I started off, most people, I don't believe most beginner or new witches start off with a crystal ball, but I did. And could very much say that my wisdom started when I was very young. It's just that I branched off on my own when I got older. So I grew up underneath my mom and my aunts and my grandmother in the Celtic and the, you know, their traditions. And though I do seriously suspect that my grandmother's coven was more Gardnerian in nature, you know, in tradition. I just needed to have my own way of expressing who I was. So I started out on my own path. And starting out on my own path, you could kind of say that I really didn't venture far from my grandmother, because I grew up underneath my grandmother's tradition, but I came of age in the fairy tradition. And that's not fairy as in Disney fairy like Tinkerbell. That's F-A-I-R-Y. I grew up under fairy, and I can never get that R right. Fairy. I can never get that R right. But it's spelled F-E-A-R-Y. Or fairies, F-E-A-R-I-E-S. So, and they're real. Can you see them? Yes, they range from very, very tiny to over 10, 20 feet tall. And not everybody can see them. You have to be gifted to see them, because they don't show themselves to everybody. And so I was taught, my teacher, so I went from my mom to a shaman. So she was a shaman who was trained by, who was taught by a shaman for over 20 years before she became a shaman herself. And I learned so much, even including what I should have asked my mom, but didn't ask my mom because I was afraid. I learned from her. And my mom would try to contain her energy, but it would just come spilling out. So it was just hard for her to do that. So I believe the universe blessed me with my teacher, you know, in respect of that. And so, let's see, where am I at? So, I didn't do anything really elaborate. And as soon as I got what I needed to learn, I ventured yet again on my own. And so I started out with the standard altar. I remember I was home one day from the military on a visit, and I was setting up my altar. I had this, the standard, what any beginner, you know, witch had. You know, I had the image, the whatever represents the, you know, I have for representing the maiden or the mother, and the one for, you know, the male energy. And so, I'm thinking back over 20 years ago. So this is a long time ago. So, that was back then. It was very basic. And my mom asked me what, my mom was like, are you setting up an altar? And I was like, because I still did not want to get, you know, too deep on any subject like that with her, because again, her energy was just so penetrating. And she wasn't a Scorpio, she was like a Cancer Leo, but I think more of a Leo. But as I came of age, I grew deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into spirituality. And I really got to know who I am and how this works. My respect for, I grew a deeper respect for my heritage and, you know, how I came to be. And I learned that to be a shaman, you have to really go through an intensive study. And that intensive study takes at least 15 to 20 years plus. And it's not something that you can do casually. It's not something that you can do online. You cannot take a class online or read a book and then say that you're a shaman. I don't care if it takes you 1 year, 2 years. You cannot do it. It's an intensive in-person study. Think about it like this. Think Karate Kid. Think the movie. Think about the movie The Karate Kid and Mr. Miyagi. Can you picture what Mr. Miyagi taught, being taught online? Wax on, wax off, everything he had the boy doing. Can you imagine, can you actually really see that? Can you actually really see that being taught online? No. So, that is about me. This is my introduction. This is my first podcast. And this is about me. If you have questions, you can reach me at witchesdna@gmail.com. You can watch me at Mystic Flow. I am on YouTube, and I also have a Facebook page by the same name, Mystic Flow. So check me out. Ask me a question if you would like, and I may feature you in my next podcast, mention you in my next podcast. I would love to hear from you guys, and thank you for listening. And one thing I wanted to add, back to my mediumship and code of ethics, when I'm finishing up a reading, I always ask my guides, angels, divine energy, to cut the cord to the connection. Do not let the person who's passed, do not let their energy come through anymore. Do not let me put out any more energy towards the connection. Please cut the connection and stop the exchange of energy. I always thank the person for letting me connect, and I say goodbye. I treat the person with the utmost respect. The same way I would treat you, I treat them. Because it's respectful, it's nice, it's kind, and they may be on the other side, but their lives is not that much different than it is on this side. They have the same feelings and they even think and things like that. You gotta think. They come and they visit you. They know things about you because they're around you all the time. They're just in a different form of energy. They're not energy contained in a body. They're energy without a body. So they're free energy. They can be anywhere, but it can be complicated. It can be very complicated. But trust me, if you treat them the way you want to be treated, okay? And so that's what I do. I treat them the way I want to be treated. And that's my core of ethics with that. All right, so again, I am going to end this first podcast. I've done my first podcast. Yay! So the next time I come on, I will hopefully be able to tell you guys the frequency in which you can expect me to post. And I will be back with some very amazing stuff to talk about. I've got me out the way, talking about, now you guys know who I am, you guys know about me. So now I'm going to go on all kinds of topics about, you know, Witch 101, being a wedge, and readings. I may even pop up a reading. So stay tuned for that. You might be able to get a reading. So just listen in, and thank you. I want to thank you very much for listening. All right. So until next time, goodbye.